Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We give you thanks and praise for rest last night. I don't know how much rest we all got, but we thank you for the amount that we did get. And this morning, God, I ask that you would give us strength, you would give us energy, not only for the next hour, but for this entire day. And God, as I've prayed, I'll pray again, sharpen us. We want to be useful in your hands. And so during this hour, sharpen us. And God, I'm mindful that this topic in particular might be very close to some who are here. And so I ask that you would encourage and support and strengthen as they sit and listen. And God, if they need to leave, comfort them as well during that time. And so just thank you again. And we ask for your blessing over the next hour. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The resources that I used in pulling some things together beyond scripture and then my own personal experience in counseling through some things. One book is Grieving a Suicide, and that is up here by David Pallison. It's short. So once again, this is a tool you can put in your toolbox. And it's meant for the person who is grieving a suicide. It's not necessarily meant to help you counsel that person, but it's meant to give to that person. Another resource is Help, My Friend is Suicidal. And a few years ago, we had Pastor Bruce Ray from Juanita Community Church come and teach us. His resource was very helpful. And then the Journal of Biblical Counseling, Volume 24, Issue 1, Julie Gossick, she wrote Life After Suicide of a Loved One. That was very helpful. And then the last one, The Suicide of a Loved One, it was part of the CCEF Annual Conference on loss. It says 2011. Sorry, it should say 2014 up there, but it's the CCF Annual Conference 2014, the Suicide of a Loved One. So if you want to make that change in your notes, not 2011, but 2014. Here's what I want to do. I kind of want to walk you through a situation that happened to me. And so the question up here, what would you do? Whether this is the knock that comes at your front door, or whether this is an unexpected moment at Life Group, or whether you do some form of formal counseling and this enters into your office. But try and think through this with me, because I was caught off guard. I wasn't ready for this. I had some training, some classes, but I wasn't ready for the experience of it. And so this happened right here at Canyon Hills. I had been here, I think, maybe 7 or 8 months. My office happened to be upstairs, and the walls were paper thin, not necessarily the best thing when you are a counseling pastor. Many times I would have to call the front desk and apologize for the language that went through one wall and out to their ears. But on this particular day, I was working away at my computer, and I could hear somebody moaning. And I don't know if you've ever heard that kind of grief before, but it's different than crying hard. It is literally from the gut coming out. And I thought, oh, that's not good. Then it wasn't too long before the receptionist called me and said, can you come out here? I don't know what to say or what to do. And so I came out, and there was a woman who had walked up the stairs, and there she was. And the receptionist looked at me and said, her son committed suicide. And so I said, hey, why don't you come back to my office, and we'll sit down and we'll talk. Sobbing, moaning, and once she was able to talk, this was the story. She had gotten into an argument with her son, and then she had gone to bed. And the next morning when she came out, she opened the door, and raining just like it is right now, and there he was in the tree, and he had hung himself. And I'm just going to pause it right there for a second. Think about that. Here she is. She's a woman. She's probably in her late 40s, early 50s, and her son is hanging in a tree. I mean, my instinct, if I was there, would be try to get him down, right? That's not how I want to see him. But there was no way she was going to be able to do that. So she called 911, and then she had to wait until they showed up and the fire department did their thing. And then she would have to wait while there was a barrage of questions. Not only after they took him down, now there was the waiting for the medical examiner to get there. That takes a little bit of time. And then after that, then there were a few more questions. Well, through all of that, she had run into the local city chaplain. And he asked her the question, do you go to church anywhere? She said, yeah, I go to Canyon Hills. And she had come every once in a while. I think that was the first name that popped into her head. And he said, I know the counseling pastor there. That's where you need to go. That's how she ended up seeing me. And through that explanation of what had happened, she would stop and just start sobbing again. And she would stop. And sometimes there was just that moaning all over again. So I started asking her a little bit of questions. I asked her a few questions. Do you know Jesus? And she said, absolutely. And gave me a beautiful testimony that kind of, she wasn't thinking about the incident at that time as she was explaining her testimony to me. I got to know her a little bit, and then she started talking about her son again. And I, what I thought I would do is kind of give you a visualization here of my experience with her. And notice as we go through here, boxes are going to pop up on the screen. Don't look at your notes yet. I gave you those notes so you don't feel the pressure to write everything down. Just experience this with me as we're going through here. You're going to see boxes pop up on the screen, and they're all over the screen. Now, they're going to look a little organized here, but it was very disorganized for me because it was very disorganized for her. She was just saying things as they were coming. There wasn't anything there. So there were unanswered questions for her. And so as we were talking, she would ask me questions. And as a biblical counselor, my first instinct is to answer those questions. But I just let her talk. I would jot questions down as she wrote them. But notice there's an arrow pointing to something. She also wrestled with guilt. Just put yourself in her shoes. She had an argument with her son the night before. And so guilt was there. But notice there's an arrow pointing to something. And there was anger. There were moments where there were tears, but they were angry tears. And out would come statements. Does he know that I've got to wrestle with this for the rest of my life? Why did he do this? Those kinds of things. And once again, there's an arrow pointing to something. And then there were moments of silence. And I knew she was just thinking about things. Moments of silence. But once again, those would be interrupted with an arrow pointing to something. And then there were, this was what I was not ready for. There would be moments of laughter. And it wasn't like crazy psychotic laughter. It was, she would remember a story of where she interacted with him and some vacation that they were on. And it was genuine laughter, really remembering what had happened. But that would give way, pointing back to something. And then there were regrets from the past 19 years where she would say, oh, I remember. It was kind of attached to the guilt a little bit, but it was more than that. It was regret that would ultimately point back to the same thing that all these things are pointing to. And then there's that moaning. That's something I will never forget, that sound. It's different than sobbing. It's different than crying. And it's different than physical pain. That would always give way and point back to the same thing. Once again, just memories from the past 19 years. As a biblical counselor who here I've got appointments every hour and a half, I just had to cancel things. And that was fine. There's no way to schedule something like this. But here's what it always kept pointing back to. And this was where I got the big lump in my throat. Every time she would ask me this question. I still get choked up. Thinking about this. Tell me my son is in heaven. Just imagine having to answer that question. Because she told me over and over, I shared the gospel with him. I shared the gospel with him. And he always said no. He didn't want anything to do with it. So here I am. I'm sitting there, right? And I'm thinking, God, what am I going to say? I can't lie. I can't tell her, well, yes, he's in heaven. You know, God's gracious and he will overlook all of that. And, you know, I could have dug for, do you remember a time when he even remotely said yes? So I can't lie, but she needs hope. She needs something. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to wrap up with what I did say at the end. So hopefully you're hanging here with me. If you were there, what would you say to her? How would you respond? And what I enjoy about this here is you're getting to wrestle with this and not in the moment. You're not there having to wade through those hard waters. So we're going to turn the corner here just a little bit. I know there was some emotion there. Here's some stats on suicide to just be aware of. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. Now, that's overall. If you look at different